for Sunday sis.
Welcome to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. And as the song says, today we are talking, or screaming, about ice cream here in Columbus. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich, along with restaurant reviewers and WOSU restaurant bloggers, Rich Terapak Sr. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you, Amy. Good to be here.
And also Steve Stover. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning, Amy.
And one trendy take on a classic treat is called the Extreme Milkshake. These indulgent shakes are piled high with everything from cake to candy, and they can be found all around the city. They've been called freak shakes or milkshakes on steroids. And Tara Becker is the owner of Libby Lou's Fun Factory, a family-owned and operated ice cream shop in Clintonville specializing in over-the-top desserts such as extreme milkshakes. Tara, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Amy.
So, Tara, your shop, the Fun Factory, offers more than 30 extreme milkshakes. And I can tell you, I went yesterday, got myself an extreme milkshake, and it is extreme. So can you tell us the definition of what makes a milkshake extreme?
It's like over the top, indulgent, going to the extremist level. So you take your basic ice cream and you just kind of pile it up to make it look crazy. And so that's what we do at Libby Lou's. And at Libby Lou's, we kind of do it a little bit different because everybody else in the industry, extreme shakes to them are about 5-6 inches of whipped topping on the top. And so when we created ours, I was like, how are we going to be different? What are we going to do different than everybody else? So we like to take that whipped cream off and we like to pile it up with what you had yesterday, strawberries, chocolate covered strawberries, waffles, and all kinds of other toppings and drizzles.
Are there, give us an idea of some of your most popular extreme shakes. What do people normally get?
Honestly, it really just depends on the day.
And I will say the menu is extensive. I think it's like a book. Think of like, you know, the Cheesecake Factory
exactly.
menu.
Exactly. I tell people when they walk in, our Bible is right there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So what do people like?
So it just really depends. And it literally can go from week to week, day to day. Some of our really constant populars are our strawberry cheesecake, and then the ultimate Reese's, which is piled high with a Reese's Pieces brownie that's cooked in-house.
Yeah,
and
wow.
It has Reese's cups on it, Take Five and Reese's Pieces. And
what
you can,
could go wrong?
Right. It has everything you can imagine on the top of it. And you can get them as a shake or a sundae. And then the other one, it kind of comes and goes, is probably our turtle cheesecake sundae or the sweet and salty. Those two kind of come in and out simultaneously. But the sweet and salty, it's a perfect mix of your sweet ice cream with salted pretzel on the top, churros, a turtle type brownie with a pretzel crust, and
you
Take
had
Five
me there,
bar.
Churros.
Yeah, a lot. We have a couple that come with churros, so it was right up your alley.
Well, the salt, you know, brings out, emphasizes the flavor of the ice cream.
Yeah, really, it does.
The salty caramel making such a big thing.
And it's one of our only extreme shakes that you can actually choose your ice cream. So you can choose it with a peanut butter-based ice cream or our Heaps of Love ice cream.
Now, do you see some people coming to your shop for just a scoop of ice cream or a regular milkshake as well?
You have
a lot going on there.
We have our regulars that do come in for scoops of ice cream and stuff regularly. And we also have our regulars that come in for our other stuff, like our churros and our funnel cake fries and stuff.
And you do have, so I took my two kids and I got the giant adult size extreme shake, and then my daughter got a kid size version. So tell me about the kid size version.
So with the kid size version, we actually started out at an 8-ounce jar. And as I watched all the kids come in and watch them eating, I seen a lot of waste. Like even at 8 ounces, a lot of kids still wasn't finishing that. So then I popped down, and now we have what we call our mini kitties, and they're in a 4-ounce mason jar that looks just like our big jars. And on the inside, it's still 4 ounces of ice cream and all kinds of toppings on the top. And then we were able to reduce the price on those down to $7.50. And since we have done that, a lot of kids come in and it's like the perfect serving for them. It's like the perfect serving. And I'll get customers be like, oh, that's small. And I'm like, I promise you. I promise you it's going to be enough.
I did not think it was small. Yes.
It's going to be enough. And we still get some little kids that 4 ounces is still a lot, because you have to figure you have about 2 inches of toppings piled on top of all of that.
And so these extreme milkshakes come in these glass jars, as you mm-hmm. said, and then you gave us like a plastic bowl for underneath.
Yes, we give you a boat so that you can catch your toppings, because sometimes especially if you have a sundae, you need to get to that. And
dig down in there.
Right. Yeah. And you want to balance it, because if you eat all that top, by the time you get to the jar, you're like, oh my gosh, I had enough. Yeah. I can't eat no more.
So you get to deconstruct it.
You get to deconstruct it into this bowl and kind of balance in between eating your toppings and your sundae or drinking it.
A lot of sense, because just digging into it from the top, that's difficult to keep it all together.
And a lot of people ask us, what do we do with this? How do we eat this? Where do we start?
What is the latest in straw technology?
In straw technology? So we use a big boba straw. We use a large...
It's a big fat straw.
It's a big fat straw, mm-hmm. because we make our shakes thick, mm-hmm. too. So we...
That's the problem.
Yeah. You're right. And so we want to make sure that you can get it up through that straw. And then with our shakes, we use our straw as a center of gravity. Yeah. So everything that is on the top of that shake is fed through that straw. So the desserts have holes in the middle of them. Uh-huh. I'm telling you my secrets, how we level this all on
all
our
the
jars.
The straw secrets.
Yes. So we use a metal straw that we put holes through, like the cupcakes and the brownie, and then are fed right on top of the straw. It's a boba straw.
Okay.
So the boba teas that everybody drinks with those little pearls, mm-hmm. that they're used to be able to suck those up through them. But they work good for our center of gravity and for our thick shakes.
Makes sense.
This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and we are talking about the favorite summertime treat of ice cream. With us in the studio, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr., WOSU restaurant reviewers, and also that is Tara Becker, the owner of Libby Lou's Fun Factory. So this is a family business for you. Tell me what it's like running, first of all, what it's like running a small business and running a family small business.
Running a small business is not an easy task. I know a lot of people think, oh, small business, you have a business, you have your own business, you must be rich, you must be all of these things. And that's just not true. That's just not how it works at all. It's a lot to juggle, because I also work a full-time job.
Whoa.
Yeah, I am a data analyst by trade. So,
and you still are.
And I still am.
Okay.
I work from home and I run my shop. And it's a lot trying to balance the inventory, trying to, constantly monitor what's going on in the stores. I wear all hats. So at home, I'm working my full-time job, and I'm also doing all the marketing for my shop, trying to get posts.
And being a mom.
Yeah. And being a mom. And on top of that, we have a car dealership. So, so it's kind of crazy. And then my family helps a lot. My family is really the backbone of everything and the support, because my oldest daughter, she's the manager of my shop, Brooklyn. And so if you come into my shop on any given day, the majority of the time, it's her face that you're going to see. So she kind of manages it for me and stuff during the week. And then my goddaughter, you will run into her at times. Right now, she just started college, so she's not there as often. And then her sister also works in my shop. They've kind of grown up with me and my kids, so we're all really close. And then, like I had mentioned before, my 11-year-old, she works there. She works 2 days a week during the summer, and her friend works with her. She gets to choose a friend during the summer to come in, and I kind of teach them the whole business ethic things, how to work, and saving money and stuff. Because those are just skills I want my kids to have as they get older. And then even my youngest son, Gray, he'll come in, and he'll help do dishes with my mom, because my mom does all the baking for my shop.
Wow.
So if you eat baked goods in my shop, that is all made by my mother.
That's a family effort.
Yes.
Truly a family-owned business.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, so there's a lot of work that really goes into it. And then my aunt, she helps me with all of the accounting and finance stuff and trying to keep up on all of that. So there is a lot of effort that goes into my shop. And I mean, like, it's not an easy thing. So when they say a small business is really paying for someone's school tuition or those gymnastic lessons or lacrosse lessons that they're going, that's really what happens. We're not a big corporation, so our money's not flying out to a corporate office and stuff. So
who designs all of the shakes? You do that personally?
I do that. Yeah. I am not an ice cream eater, believe it or not.
What?
I am not.
Did you used to be an ice cream eater?
No, I have never been an ice cream eater, but I do, every recipe that is put together, I do taste everything. So I have eaten everything in my shop. I have tasted every ice cream that comes in to decide if I want it in the shop and how it tastes. And then once I decide I like it, then I hand it out to everybody else. Like, if I'm trying out something new and you're walking down the sidewalk, you might be the lucky person that gets a shake that I just made. And I'm
watch
like,
out, Steve will hang out.
Yeah. Right.
But the question is, how did you come to this, having this business, if you're not an ice cream maniac?
My kids. Oh. It was my kids. I've always been, as a hobby, on the event planning industry, planning parties for like kids. That's, I love kids, so that's always been my focus. Having fun with kids, partying with kids. And I used to own a salon down in Grove City called Pinkalicious Parties. It was a spa and salon that kids could come to, and we did birthday parties and all of that. I got ill with a brain aneurysm, and so I left for a while. And then I went back into the corporate world. And then when COVID hit, I got laid off. And so I started making all these candy cakes and bouquets and selling them on Etsy and doing virtual birthday parties.
Wow.
And everybody was like, when are you going to get this stuff out of our house? Because I was overrunning my house. And so I accidentally found the space that I am in. And I moved in there with the thought that I'm just going to keep making these candy cakes. Plus, I had a contract at that time with Dylan's Candy Bar. And then, like, one of my friend's daughters worked with me, and she was like, oh, Tara, look, you could do these shakes. She was like, what if we did these crazy shakes? And then my other daughter was like, Mom, you should do cotton candy. Why don't we do shave ice? And then, I don't know, somewhere along the way, we ended up with 37 flavors of ice cream and crazy milkshakes.
Wow. And a lot of candy.
And that's tell us about why you call it a fun factory. So you don't call it an ice cream shop.
Right. We call it a fun factory because we are so much more than just ice cream. We do birthday parties. And you can come in my shop and host a birthday party, or I'll come to you and bring everything to you and host birthday parties. So, like, your stuff a pal is basically where we come. You stuff bears. And we incorporate ice cream into all of our parties now. We have a Sunday spa where we'll come out and we'll do manicures, pedicures, and bring a Sunday bar and all of that kind of stuff. And then we do catering for corporate events and for like graduation parties, social gatherings, staff appreciation. We can do all of that kind of catering as well.
It sounds like you're not just extreme shakes. You're just extreme.
Exactly.
Extreme. All the things.
Right. We do everything we do is above and beyond.
Extreme it's, party.
Yeah. Right, right. If you're not going to do it extreme, why do it at all?
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Big or go home.
Okay. All right. So tell our listeners where your shop is located and your hours for the summer.
Okay. So we're located at 3039 Indianola Avenue. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with Studio 35 and mm-hmm. Elizabeth Records, we are smack dab right in between them.
Oh.
And on Indianola.
South of East North Broadway.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. In between North Broadway and Weber.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a great strip of places to be. Great, a lot of little small businesses there. Our summer hours are daily from 12 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
And so just you said you see a lot of repeat customers, but do people come in and they're coming in and they have the intention, I'm going to try an extreme shake, this is my time, and tell me about, give me an example of one shake you would recommend to a newbie to the extreme shake world.
My favorite extreme shake is the taffy apple.
What's in it?
And the taffy apple is made with our peanut butter caramel ice cream, and it has sliced apples and peanuts that's layered in between all of that with caramel and peanut butter sauce. And then on the top of it, you get this apple Danish and a whole sliced apple that is then drizzled with peanut butter caramel and peanuts on
my
the top.
My goodness.
Well, oh,
with
gasp.
Sugar cookies. Yeah, it also has crumbled sugar cookies in it.
That would go big at the fair. You ought to think about taking it to the fair.
But that is probably my favorite. That is probably my favorite extreme shake. And I generally tend to recommend that to everybody that comes in.
Wow.
And what about for a kid? I'm not sure about the... That might be a lot for a kid trying an extreme shake. So in your kiddie selection, what would you recommend?
So with the kids... The cotton candy will win it every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time. That's probably our most popular kitty shake. And with the girls, with the little girls, it's our unicorn.
What's in the unicorn?
So the unicorn is our our Play-Doh ice cream, which is a sugar cookie ice cream with these colored pieces of sugar cookie dough that is like, it says it's pink, but it looks more red. So it's like red and blue. And
kind of like the funfetti thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it's just topped with, we take these marshmallows and turn them into ears. And then it has a unicorn horn sucker on it. And then my mom makes these unicorn chocolate heads that go on it. And it has unicorn gummies and stuff in it.
Wow.
And the little girls tend to really, really.
That sounds like a dream. It. A dream, yes. Come true. Yes.
Sounds like you, for you, Rich.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Tara.
I'm going back to the apple caramel one.
Well, yeah. Tara Becker, thank you so much for being here and telling us about your shop, Libby Lou's Fun Factory.
Yes, thank you guys for having me.
And this is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and we're going to continue talking about ice cream all around Columbus. And listeners, we want to hear your favorite local ice cream place. 614-292-8513. We'll be back in just a moment. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich, along with cooking teachers, bloggers, and WOSU restaurant reviewers Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. The average American eats roughly 20 pounds of ice cream each year, or about 4 gallons. To meet the demand, ice cream makers are churning out 1.3 billion gallons of ice cream in 2022. Anyone who loves ice cream knows of local favorites such as Jenny's with its eclectic flavor pairings, or Johnson's Real Ice Cream, a Central Ohio staple since 1950. Also, Cincinnati-based Grater's is famous for embedding giant chocolate chips inside its ice cream. Listeners, we want you to tell us your favorite ice cream place in Columbus and why. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Rich and Steve, in the last segment with Tara here from Libby Lou's Fun Factory, we didn't get to go into other extreme ice cream options besides hers. So there are other extreme ice creams here in Columbus. Tell us about the Yard Milkshake Bar.
Well, it's part of a 20, there are 20 different outlets nationally. And as you mentioned earlier, they got their money on Shark Tank. A lot of publicity. They were one of the first extremes shops to get a lot of attention in Columbus, including a Dispatch article and other stuff. Their signature item in Columbus is the Buckeye Milkshake. I think it's about $17. It has peanut butter and brownie batter ice cream, a red and white marshmallow drizzle, a chocolate rim, which is a big deal now among the extreme shake folks, and whipped cream. And I'm slipping into a food coma talking. Another one is Chocolate Cafe, which has, and that's fairly new for them, monster milkshakes in 4 flavors, s'mores, strawberry shortcake, cookie monster, and Reese's peanut butter cup, which seems to be a popular item. And again, some rims. This has a marshmallow rim. And
is this like a margarita?
Sort of. And then
you dip it into marshmallows. Huh?
And you were going to talk about milkshakes with booze in them.
Yes, let's talk about some adult milkshakes.
The adult milkshake, which is always a good idea. It's always good for dessert, and it combines, you know, an after dinner digestif with the ice cream.
Yeah, we're all about being healthy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The the one that I researched most recently was Hadley's, which is down in what we call SOB, south of Broad, on 4th Street. I find that it's a good way. They make good use of that vanilla vodka that nobody else would drink by itself.
Mm. Okay, it's got to be used somewhere, right?
Got to be used somewhere. And one of my favorite childhood soda drinks was a Brown Cow, which is root beer and vanilla ice cream. Mm. Well, their drink is root beer, vanilla ice cream, and vanilla vodka. And it's, you know, you might want to share it with a friend. It's $15.
How do you know all this, Rich? That's the kind of research.
This is research, yes.
Chefs in the City.
Yeah.
And then Dolce Vita, which is a little bit different. It's they have three locations, and they feature Mexican ice cream treats, including, I think, paletas, which we can talk about later. But their signature is a mix of fresh-cut mango, mango ice cream, hot sauce, and tamarind. And it's cold, and it's hot, and it's sweet, and it's spicy. And that's supposed to be very interesting. And then
it's a meal.
There's a cupcake version, the cupcakery, where they cut a cupcake in half and stuff it with ice cream and put it together. So
yeah, there's other extreme ways to have ice cream, not just an extreme milkshake, but then there's the extreme, it's kind of like an extreme ice cream sandwich. I mean, these are huge ice cream sandwiches. Right. So what one were you just talking about? Was that sugar? No, cupcakery. You were saying
cupcakery, small cakes, cupcakery, and creamier on Hamilton Road in Gahanna.
So they cut the cupcake in half and put ice cream in the middle.
And then there's Sugar Rush, which talked about that in Reynoldsburg. Sandwich Social, which is an ice cream sandwich place in an Italian village on North 4th, which giant ice cream cookie and stuff with the ice cream flavor of your choice, and then different kind of toppings and sprinkles that you can put on that. So we're close to 10 of these in Columbus.
Amazing.
Now.
Yeah. So
a year ago, I think the Yard was among the first.
The ice cream sandwich, in some of the locations, you can, you know, build it yourself and pick, and then they roll it in so the other topping is on the outside. I mean, it's, and they're huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big enough for a pal and you.
Listeners, tell us how you eat it all. Listeners, tell us your favorite ice cream place in Columbus. We're going to list a few of them, but we want to know what ones we're missing, what ones you love. 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, obviously, Columbus loves ice cream. So, which ice cream do we love the most?
I guess I've got to be loyal to Johnson's on the east side. It's the one I grew up with, as you indicated. It got started in 1950, and it's still in the same location, and it's only a block away from Urbino's. So you can have dinner at Urbino's and dessert at Johnson's. It is rumored to have the highest butterfat content of any of the ice creams available in town.
Mm.
It does a good job with the seasonal stuff, the lemon or peach ice creams. It also has a little restaurant in it. They have salads, sandwiches, chili dogs, all those kinds of things. So you can make it a one-stop shop as well.
Yeah, I guess some ice cream places, to be a year-round business, you might have to sell more than just ice cream, right?
Yeah.
Well, but Jenny's.
Jenny's doesn't. Jenny's just.
I remember I interviewed Jenny for about 2 hours when she first got started. She started a shop at, I think it was at the North Market, and it failed. Mm. And yet she had a new plan to go, and that's when I count my contribution suggesting a deep, dark chocolate, like
you gave Jenny's her ideas.
Dark chocolate from Paris. Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Well,
of it
remember
right
the
now.
Lavender that she
yeah,
did.
And then salty caramel being a signature.
That's what really.
And the wonderful flavors off. and the creativeness that she has, I think. And now she's all over the place. She's got several shops in Nashville and around the country.
Well, and Al Roker buys Christmas presents from her and sends it all over the country.
Doesn't the president?
President Biden loves her ice cream, definitely.
And then, lest we forget Ritzy's, that's another Columbus. They used to have more stores, but they're back on North High Street at Garden with their smash burgers and my favorite being peanut butter cup.
And they have great fries.
So Ritzy's is like a little diner, right?
Yeah, it's a little burger joint, but their real start was in ice cream. I remember Graydon Webb's a fraternity brother of mine, and I remember tasting his ice creams back in
that's where you got to start.
I didn't get this figure for nothing, people.
Before we move completely away from Jenny's, the strawberry ice cream that they only have in the summer, uh-huh. for part of the summer until they run out, because yeah. they source their strawberries in a particular way. Yeah. So once they run out of strawberry ice cream, they're done with it. It's there now, and that's one of my favorites.
I think we yeah. know where she gets her strawberries, but yeah, I can't tell.
Yep. You can't tell. Okay. Well, I love to get a scoop of Jenny's strawberry and with their milkiest chocolate in the world, and that's like my chocolate-covered strawberry that I love.
Yeah,
so.
Great.
It makes a wonderful gift. Our daughter sometimes for Father's Day will send me a 4-pack of Jenny's ice cream.
The pints in the mail. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jenny's does pints in the mail. And we have a caller. Whoops. Here we go. Serdy in Dublin. What is your favorite ice cream? Serdy, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, there we go. We missed you. What is your favorite ice cream?
This is Sudhir.
Yes.
Okay. I like the Mardi Gras on Hard Road and Smoky Road corner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what kind of ice cream do you like there?
I like the Malai. They have so many different varieties I have never seen anywhere before. Lychee, mango, peach. They do have some Indian flavors like betel nut. Some other ones too, Tutti Frutti, and it's just so amazing. It's unbelievable.
All right, Mardi Gras, and that you said that's on
Hard Road. It's up in very
Hard
popular.
In the corner of Hard and Smoky.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, Mardi Gras ice cream, and those sound like some great flavors. I mean, there's just so much you can do with ice cream.
Lest we forget Graters.
Yeah.
From all right,
Cincinnati,
yes.
Famous for the chunks of chocolate. I might have ingested a few bites of that last night.
Well, the Graters, as you said, got started in Cincinnati, and we would drive to Cincinnati to have the turtle sundae.
Oh.
It was phenomenal. Do they still offer it?
Yes, they do. And the people, when there was only one store here, they would refer to me as Mr. Double Nuts when I'd come in for a turtle because I'd ask for extra pecans on mine.
So. Of course you did.
Want a little extra there, yes. And Graters recently announced what they're calling a 2023 bonus flavor.
Yep.
It's called Hot Honey Crunch. So yeah. It's crunchy honeycomb, sweet icing, and a bit of heat.
How do you feel about that, Amy?
I'm not. Honey is not my flavor. No, I don't know. But what do you think the bit of heat means?
A little bit of pepper,
yeah, probably
like that.
Yeah, just you sometimes can throw in some
a little
sriracha.
Heat
I guess
works with sweet things,
yeah.
Very sweet things, and yeah. So I'm not ruling it out. Although double chocolate chip and toffee chip still resonate with me.
Yeah, well, maybe we have a listener who's tried this hot honey crunch out there. I'm not sure.
I believe the Supreme Commander is going to try it. My wife, pretty soon.
And you'll have to report back.
Yeah.
614-292-8513 is the number to call. Listeners, call us. What is your favorite ice cream place in Columbus and why? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org.
You know, a number of years ago, probably a decade ago, yogurt shops, soft yogurt, was a big deal but all over town, and you can hardly find it now.
I noticed that this morning when I was looking at our notes.
Yeah, is this just a couple-year thing? Are we going to have these giant shakes for a while? If I hope so, if not, go out and get one right away before it goes away.
Ice cream trends.
I did notice that there used to be dozens of yogurt shops,
frozen yogurt shops. Yeah,
The Mexican paletas is something I was talking about at Diamond's Ice Cream on Bethel at Sawmill. It's a Mexican frozen treat, either fruit or creamy. Usually on a stick, like a popsicle, and they also have them filled. And that's becoming a big treat now in Columbus. That's another new frozen treat. And somebody asked me the difference between soft serve and frozen custard.
The difference is that any custard has eggs. And it's whipped more slowly.
And it's creamier.
Yeah. And gelato is the same thing without the egg. So,
you heard it here first. And gelato is usually only made with milk rather than cream, too.
I have to give a shout out to my ice cream place that I go to that I can walk to, Witt's Frozen Custard. So yeah, there you go. With the yes,
it's a national chain. Yeah. Isn't it?
Well,
I guess states. I think.
Okay. There's the Witt's in Clintonville is yep. what is what
is
I walk to.
One it in Gahanna.
There's yes, yeah, and the one in Clintonville is just south of North Broadway, right across the street from Clinton Elementary.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah. Our family loves to go to Witt's. They do what's called a Witzer, which is their version of Dairy Queen's Blizzard. Yeah. So you can pick your toppings and they put it in and they mix it all together with the frozen custard. But they do offer vegan flavors. So they have a vegan flavor at all times and they have a vegan flavor of the week. So
it doesn't
have the eggs. And I think it's made with oat milk. So it doesn't have the coconut flavor, right? So which some people like, some people don't. But yeah, so... A lot of ice cream places also have vegan ice cream options, too.
I think those super hard shakes like the Blizzard derive from a place called, in St. Louis, Ted Drew's Custard, Frozen Custard. Mm-hmm. And they would give you your custard and they would turn it upside down because it was so thick.
Yeah, that's what Dairy Queen's known for. Yeah. Yeah. You turn
right.
it upside,
right.
down.
Right.
Yes.
This was back in the 70s, and I think Ted Drew's. Unfortunately, you can't do that when you put hot fudge on your concrete. Just saying.
You know, White Castle has a couple of offerings in the
White Castle has ice cream?
Remember those shakes? Yeah.
The shakes, and it has two layered ones. One's chocolate and one's caramel. And it's essentially ice cream, layer of caramel, ice cream, etc. And I believe, although I'm told from some, I found in some research that... Dave Thomas of Wendy's was the inventor of the Frosty. And certainly Frosties are, you know, all over the place and all over the world now. So another reason that Columbus is the food capital.
They are similar, aren't they?
Yeah. The White Castle had them back in the 50s, though, and they were called Frosties back then. So...
All right, we have a few things from listeners here. Good. We're going to add in Gilbert. Gilbert in Columbus, what's your favorite ice cream?
It's called Robel's Ice Cream, R-O-B-E-L-S, at 4741 East Main. They specialize in Mexican treat ice cream. Actually, I like some of the hot sauce with my chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh, hot sauce on it. Okay.
Yeah, ooh,
yeah.
There you go. Hot again.
There you go. We got to combine all these flavors. Yeah. Well, thank you for that recommendation. Say the name again. Robel's?
R-O-B-E-L-S. Robel's Ice Cream.
On Main Street.
It's in East Columbus, about a couple blocks off of South Hamilton Road on East Main.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Across from Mi Mexico.
Okay.
Okay, and then we also have an email from Douglas. Douglas said, my wife and I are lactose intolerant, but we do love ice cream, so we're always looking for dairy-free options. And Creamed, C-R-M-D, right, which is called Creamed, has a great selection of frozen yogurts with fun toppings and a couple dairy-free options as well. So yes,
there is frozen yogurt.
Yeah, there. Creamed.
I got a couple more. Worth a drive, some iconic places. Young's Jersey Dairy. In Yellow Springs, and it is famous for their milkshakes. It's the calf shake, the cow shake, and the bull shake.
Bull shake.
In different sizes. And then Tom's Ice Cream Bowl in Zanesville is an iconic and old-fashioned ice cream parlor with the little hats and everything.
Yeah, there's the iconic Velvet Ice Cream location in Utica.
Okay.
And a beautiful facility. It's a barn. Has a big water wheel attached to it. They also have lunch items, et cetera, and a little park next door. Great place to take the kids.
And what time of the year is it, Rich? It's time for
peach ice cream.
At UDF.
Yep.
And Graders.
Yep.
And one more that I wanted to mention, it's a truck that goes around, and I've had it in my neighborhood a few times, but they also have a brick-and-mortar location, Little Lady Soft Serve.
Ah, yep.
So, yeah, traditional ice cream, traditional soft serve ice cream, but then they have great concoctions where you can get the ice cream and just there's all kinds of different recipes. They have really cute names. Or you can just get your big, giant ice cream cone with sprinkles all over it.
Yeah, great.
And there's a big fandom of Rita's.
Yes.
There's one in Gahanna. There's one on Henderson Road.
Italian, so Italian ice.
And Italian ice, which is something we haven't talked about.
There's so many different frozen treats. Yes. Did I miss any before we move on?
I think got them.
We've exhausted the list.
Yep.
All right.
Little Lady's soft serve. Yep. I think.
Oh, we didn't talk about rolled ice cream. What about the rolled ice cream?
I don't know much about that.
You don't know that one?
It's a Thai Asian thing. So
yeah, I think. Well,
it's like a cannoli or something.
Ice cream. I'm not sure. I haven't had it either. I imagine that you can like put it on like a cold slab and then they roll it. I've seen it done before.
I wonder if it's like that.
Like Cold Stone Creamery?
Cold Stone kind of thing.
But thinner. I think it's thinner. Yeah. Well, we've been talking about ice cream.
Exhaustive research.
We've been talking about ice cream, the perfect summer treat here on All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. And with us is Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. And we'll have some restaurant news when we come back in just a moment. This is 89.7 NPR News.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Amy Jarovich. And I'm here with cooking teachers, bloggers, and WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak Sr. and Steve Stover. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Amy.
And we've been talking about ice cream today. Listeners, we will still take your call if we have an ice cream recommendation that we missed, 614-292-8513. But while we're waiting on that, we're going to talk about there's been a lot of news in the restaurant industry happening here in Central Ohio. So we're going to shift gears and catch up on some restaurant news now. So, Steve, you want to start?
Well, yeah. On Wednesday, Forbes had a feature article on Columbus's own City Barbecue, noting that they now have 66 locations and plan to add 11 more this year alone, plus 10 to 15 more in 2024. Who knew that Columbus would be the barbecue heart of America?
And that's the second Forbes article this year, isn't it?
Right. What was it? Do you remember the other one? It was about why you should plan a spring trip to Columbus, Ohio. This is in a national publication. Hidden gem in plain sight, featuring Agni, the new Avishar Barua restaurant, and Joya's, Fire in the Hilton, Stories on High Atop the Hilton, Chapman Eats Market.
They did some good research.
BJ has a James Beard Award nomination. Understory up in North Neal Avenue. Ginger Rabbit, Locke's Bagel Shop, Brassica, Momo Gar, and Hoyo's Kitchen. I mean,
wow. That's
quite
the list.
And this comes after... since 2019, there have been more than a dozen national articles about Columbus. The New York Times picked Columbus among the 52 places in the world to visit.
That was great.
And had two other articles, Food and Wine.
Yeah.
And even Wine Enthusiast had an article about the Columbus wine and distillery scene. So America must have discovered Columbus.
You can see they're built. Most of these articles are built around consumption.
Yeah.
it's eating principally, but also some wine consumption and every once in a while a giant shake.
I feel like a lot of cities are trying to be foodie towns, isn't it? That's just a part of all their marketing.
Minneapolis, Austin, Nashville,
right?
But
is there room
Columbus,
for everyone?
No, Columbus is an emerging food scene. Avishar Barua, who owns Joya's and Agni, was on. Meet Bobby Flay.
Yeah,
he was on Top Chef a couple years ago in 2018, and he was on Bobby Flay, and he beat his competitor, and then he beat Bobby Flay. Recently.
No.
They just opened the restaurant, had 15 different dishes in a five-course.
For 4 hours or so?
Yeah, 4 hours of
dining. That's all?
Just 4 hours, yeah.
Well, I did do one that was 5 hours, but we can't talk about that. Columbus Monthly, food and drink editor Aaron Edwards, who's been on the show, reported that Andrew Smith, who was the opening chef at one of several restaurants, but he was also at the restaurant on, Matt Barbie's barbecue restaurant, pizza restaurant. Anyway.
And I'm not good at that game where I don't know where to find the word you're missing.
I came too quickly. But anyway, he's been doing pop-up dining at his house. And all the foodies in Columbus have gone, other than us, I'm afraid. But he is opening finally his own brick-and-mortar restaurant in the former Bake Me Happy spot on Moeller Street in Marion Village in the South End.
And good luck to him.
Yeah, he's a really good chef.
Good to have him back.
Burgers?
Public.
Burgers?
That's another thing that's ranking Columbus up there as a part of the top in America.
Yeah. Yelp's top 100 burgers in America listed Bear Burger at 51 and North Star Cafe is 100. And I think there's some others that are worth mentioning, in my humble opinion.
And North Star probably has the best vegan burger in town.
Mm-hmm. By far.
Yeah. So,
all right.
We got him some votes.
Yeah. So, North Star was on that list, but then Bear Burger was on that list.
Bear Burger.
Yeah.
It's in the short go get your bison burger.
Is that a smash burger?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a regular burger.
Well, there is a Smash Burger. I drive past it every day. There's a Smash Burger that's going to open up on Ohio State's campus soon.
Yes.
Any day now. I mean, it looks like it's ready to go.
Yeah, and those are great.
If you can find a place to park.
Well, yeah, I have a parking pass because I work here. So.
But Amy will take us.
Oh, our friends Duncan and James Forbes of North Country Charcuterie have gotten another national Good Food Award for their Wagyu bacon. And Columbus's own, not even Columbus's own, I think they're in Granville now, Black Radish Creamery also received a National Good Food Award for their raclette and Bandit Red Cheddar cheeses. So there you have it.
What's Wagyu bacon? What does that mean?
It's a Wagyu is a kind of beef.
Okay.
That's great.
It's the Japanese massage cow kind of beef.
They grow it
very
in America
expensive.
Now, though, but it's very expensive. It's certain rules about how you can make it, and they take that and make it into
bacon.
There's
a lot of psychology goes into raising these very content cows.
Happy cows.
Happy cows make for happy bacon.
And since we have a little time, we could talk about some of the highlights, since we're halfway through the year now.
Yeah.
Some of the highlights of 2023, one of which is
for the OU grads, they're be glad to find out that Jackie O's on 4th opened in May. It's a huge place, so all the Bobcats can go there at one time. I think it has 8,000 square feet of patio, fire pits, and seating for 300.
300? Okay, wow.
It's huge. Right. If you're driving north on 4th, between Long and Spring, you can just see this. It's on the north side of this building, and I think they do have a manufacturing plant there, and it's really cool. It's got a lot of greenery. And
The other one that's sort of brand new, and I didn't even know it was coming about, is Key. Is that how you pronounce it? K-E-E?
Yeah.
It's essentially in the North Market area,
and
it's an old warehouse, and they've created some what looks to be beautiful space for large parties and also as a restaurant.
Huh. That was in the Dispatch article this week.
Yeah.
Also this year, so we went to Stories on High. As part of our grueling research, it is the restaurant high atop the new Hilton Hotel. It's on the 28th floor. Spectacular views of all directions.
It's the highest rooftop bar we've got.
And it's even better to go like it. Well, you can't do that anymore. You can go for happy hour, and then it gets dark at 6 o'clock.
You can see both the
day and the night. And the food is really good. The chef, Sebastian.
So not just a bar. They have food. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say the food is really good and very well priced, and the bar is a little more high end.
It's small plates.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wagyu sliders, Wagyu skirt steak sticks. It also has outdoor patios, which when we were there, they didn't have them, but it's very cool. And also Spec Italian Eatery, which is the new restaurant from Josh Dalton, the owner of Veritas.
You can go see the new sculpture hanging on the corner of Gay and High.
Yeah, and it's very, very good Italian. I've been recommending it a lot lately. Well priced.
What was the name of that?
Spec.
Spec.
It's from the owners of the Veritas. They also have a wine store called Accent. They also have a new fish restaurant in Delaware, a new seafood restaurant.
What's happened to the French restaurant that was going to go in the corner?
It's still coming. There's supposed to be a French restaurant at the northeast corner of Gay and High. Veritas is on the southwest corner.
Okay.
So that whole area.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great things going on there, including a sculpture to look at, an outdoor sculpture.
That's really interesting. Maybe not this weekend with the traffic for the Arts Festival, but we'll get down there.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
And there's a new steak place opening in the former Smith and Walensky's in Easton Town Center.
Yep. It's a Phoenix place, isn't
it? Yeah, Maestro's is the name of it, and I've been to one in Phoenix, and it's very good. It's interesting that, and then Smith and Walensky closed, but they're planning to open downtown.
Okay.
So this is not the end of it. And Rich, you can talk about Harvest Pizzeria.
Yeah, Harvest is doing well. I think the Crater folks are opening one in Granville, which is Chris's hometown.
Chris Crater.
And
the Columbus location, or the Clintonville location of Harvest, had a fire. They were closed for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're open again.
They just opened, and just a couple month or two ago.
Yeah.
And they're still producing great little pizzas.
So where are they opening a new one?
This is in Granville.
Granville.
Okay.
Where in Granville, I'm not sure.
It's by the railroad tracks. We went there with June McCarthy.
Oh, that's right. We have been there.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice, airy place just outside of Granville. And then across the street is another Chris Crater place called The Station.
It would be on 37.
Right? I think so. And
all right. And we have another. There's the first brick and mortar restaurant opening,
Creole To Go.
Yes. Okay.
It's
I was hesitating
with the
on
number
that.
Two in the GEAUX. Yes. They've had a spot in the North Market, and I've heard really good things about the food there. It's just really.
They have one in the East Market, the Trolley Market. Yeah.
And then finally, we have Cameron Mitchell's Valentina's. It's supposed to open in May, and it's not May.
It's not May.
But I haven't heard that it opened.
What concept is that?
This is another Italian concept. From Cameron Mitchell Restaurants,
hence the name,
and it's in Bridge Park. There's another Italian concept, high end concept called Cento,
which is 100 in Italian, and this is his 100th restaurant,
which is opening in German Village.
Okay.
And there's a lot of work going on there, but I don't think it's quite done. Two new concept restaurants from Cameron Mitchell, in very important locations: a steakhouse in that. On the corner of southwest corner in the old PNC.
Mm-hmm.
They're digging out an underground.
Yeah, because the PNC is turning into a lot of apartments, and then they have this garden in the front.
The concepts are changing. I've heard steakhouse, and then a new concept in the former Bonvie location at Easton Town Center, described in Business First as a Del Mar Easton.
It's great.
Okay.
So
good to have that at Easton.
I think the Columbus restaurant scene is really thriving.
Yeah. That's what we have about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to make sure we took a moment to talk about the Columbus restaurant scene. We're seeing some restaurants adding an inflation fee. Others, Chapman's Eat Market adds an employee wellness fee. Are people willing to pay these fees to have the experience of eating out, right?
I think, certainly in the case of Chapman's, because it's an extraordinary place and it's very difficult to get in, and mm-hmm. you won't pay the extra charge.
They have a wellness fee that helps pay for health care for their employees.
Which is, I guess in theory, great that they're supporting their employees. The problem with wait staff in America, really, is that they're being paid $2.75 an hour and relying on their tips. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were just... Stephen, Mary, and Roberta and I were just in Europe. You don't have to tip there because people get a living wage and they have health care programs. And I don't know if that will ever change. But as we go up to a counter and pick up a sandwich and we see that you can offer either 18, 20, or 22% tips, and you're standing there in front of the screen and you feel like, why am
and
I
they're,
tipping?
They're just handing you a pint of ice cream and they have this thing. Well, but there's... There have been several stories on the news, and I'll be quick, is that there's becoming some resistance because people are being forced to tip for when they're not really getting any service. And so I think
or when the service is bad.
And I think
but you feel compelled still to tip.
And so there are two sides to the coin. Hopefully restaurant people who do so much should be receive a living wage, but also they might be killing the golden egg. Yeah.
Well, we will have to keep an eye on that, see what happens, see about
Happy
these
days.
Fees.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. This has been All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. Thank you, Steve Stover. Thanks for being here. Thank you, Rich Terapak Sr.
Amy, it's good to be here.
Yes, thank you all for being here. And this is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News.